Well, if there's one thing you can say about us, it's subpar.
I
That's
don't know.
consistent.
So far, we're on par with the Transformers Collectors Club.
Oh, no, we're actually online.
Meteo, ready?
And now it's time for another superhero time. With your hosts, XV.
It's all about the butt.
Hey, Mickey.
Everybody loves dicks.
Paladin.
That's the magic butt.
Ken.
It's in Miss America's pants.
And Fort Max.
No, that goes into the ass.
It's superhero time. I'm XV, and this week we have a lot of samurai news. I'm sorry. With me this week...
No, you're not.
You're XV.
Well, actually, I am kind of sorry because, you know, I have to sit here through it, too.
Samurai.
As long as you suffer, that makes me happy.
So, joining me this week is Ken.
Yo.
Fort Max.
Hello.
Mickey.
Hey.
And, you know, Paladin.
Hello.
I can't put any more enthusiasm into it than he does, so. That's what your mom said. So why don't we jump into the samurai news? Samurai news?
Super okay, samurai trailer? Well, a bunch of new toys. There's a Zord vehicle, Scorpion Zord,
for
based
Decker.
Off the Claw Zord design.
Which comes with a miniature Decker figure.
Yes, as well as a Zord vehicle Claw Zord.
Yeah, so they knocked off the Claw Zord smaller so they could turn it into a scorpion and a little lobster. It's a very Bandai of America thing to do.
Let's see. Also, a roleplay Barracuda blade,
which is probably also smaller than the Japanese one, which was not big to start with.
Actually, maybe not.
So basically, it's a toothpick.
considering it's the same price point as the Spin Sword.
Yeah, but this
one would be able to hold the Barracuda blade like it does with the water bow.
That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
And there's also like the Spin Sword and the Hydro Bow, there's also going to be a training set which includes the Gold Ranger mask and three discs, presumably going to have discs for additional discs for the
Squid?
Squid and, well, the Squid Zord, the Claw Zord's discs, and I don't know what.
Maybe
I don't remember what the third one is. I know
a,
the third one
a sushi
for the Hyperbox, that was the fishing one.
Maybe it will just be the sushi disc.
Yeah.
It'll be the Pink Ranger's disc.
The thing about the Barracuda blade, though, it doesn't look like it's constructed to where it can split in half for packaging so that you get, like, a proper-sized toy out of it.
Well, actually, the packaging's different for that, for the roleplay weapons now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. And
yeah,
actually, I know there's a electronic version of the Spin Sword out now.
Yeah, see, I haven't seen any of the more recent assortments of the roleplay toys.
Yeah, and I've seen the Hydro Bow and Black Box Morpher.
Although, it's worth going and looking around at Walmart right now, because last time I was at some different ones in my local one, they all had the roleplay stuff for about half price.
Yeah, and I also have seen the Shogun Buckle.
Yeah, I didn't get to see that
one.
Well,
the Shogun Driver.
Shogun Driver.
Yeah, well, that's what it is.
Still, I was disappointed I didn't see one last time I was around the Toys R Us. I wouldn't have bought it for, you know, $25 or more dollars, but it would have been fun to just push the button several times and run away.
Yeah, you can play with it without buying it that way.
Yes.
Which is why when you buy them, they have no power left in them.
And occasionally have AIDS. Because they're not mint
no,
sealed box.
Only if they've been taken out of the box.
Well, this is in open packaging, so...
The Dragon Dagger was bad about that.
Fort Max and I are sharing a very old in-joke.
Apparently.
Only Kilby will understand it, and he doesn't even listen to the show anymore.
That bastard.
And he...
I would say it's because he's got taste, but it's really just because he's too busy.
Wait, you imply he actually listened to it at one point.
Yeah, he used to.
Just to make sure we weren't talking about him.
Probably.
Well, guess what?
You snooze, you lose.
Yes. Yes, talking shit about Kilby is our favorite pastime here. Speaking of which, we'll have to have JD on the show again soon. Okay, so we finally saw a picture of the Gigazord toy.
Yes.
Somebody talk about that.
It is what you would expect for a Gigazord that's the same size as the deluxe Megazords that it's as just one of the deluxe Zords that it's made out of.
I expect it to be remote controlled.
You'll be disappointed then.
Yeah, I don't really get that impression from it.
Well, you remember how they'd always release the Megazord as like some crappy remote controlled rolling on wheels thing?
Yeah, the charging Megazord.
That would actually fit for that.
Yeah, it kind of would. Well, it would if it was more based on the Japanese version where it had a platform it stood on.
I mean, that rolled, so yeah.
That doesn't really seem to be the case of how they developed the American toys.
Also, it doesn't seem like it has a lower legs as a box.
That's basically what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The toy has lost its box.
Oh, dear.
Well, your mom occasionally loses her box, too, but...
Well, the toy lost its box. Just get a tour.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what you could do. You could just get the, 2010 Titanus toy and set the Gigazord down in it and just push it along on the floor. That'll work, right?
I guess.
Well, I think most interesting, in a manner of speaking, was the Power Rangers Super Samurai trailer.
Well, wait, you forgot one roleplay item. The Bullzooka.
Oh, yes. Damn.
Hell yes.
Which also combines with the Spin Sword and the...
Mega Blade.
That name almost makes up for Black Box.
And when it combines with the Mega Blade, it becomes a spear weapon.
Wait, what?
Yes. It becomes a pole arm.
Okay, sure.
It's a very short pole.
I don't know. That Mega Blade's kind of big.
Well, the blade is kind of big, but it's got a short shaft.
That's what she said.
And that Bullzooka, it's more thick than it is long.
It's more bulbous at the tip.
That's also what she said.
And it folds up for easy storage. What?
If only your mother had that ability.
No, there's no easy storage about her.
You can't fold a ball, Paladin.
You can kind of mush it, you know, like Play-Doh.
Unless
you let some of the air out of it.
The only easy storage with... The closest... Your mom can't be easily stored. She is easy storage, though.
I will concede that was worth the several attempts it took you, Fort Max. But speaking of the Bullzooka and the spear that it forms, that also appeared in the Power Rangers Super Samurai TV trailer.
Sure is samurai.
Yeah.
Super.
Including Battleizer footage. In the cockpit.
Yeah, because a Battleizer in the cockpit is so useful.
I guess what they're going to do is only use that maybe when they're using the Gigazord.
Well,
maybe. That's the only thing I can think of.
Well, my impression of it was that was Red controlling the Bullzord.
You mean all two times that Sekiro used it?
Well, that's not really important now, is it?
I guess. At least that would mean we mercifully don't see it that much.
Plus, if you think about it, you know, toward the end of the first so-called season of Samurai, they were editing together new Zord fights out of old footage, so it could potentially show up more than just those couple times.
Oh, good.
They'll bring it out every episode.
But yeah, twice. I know that they were actually doing some pretty creative editing with editing with replacing what Megazord was in the shot, so...
It was almost like it was season 2 of Power Rangers again.
No, the editing wasn't that bad.
Plus,
and you didn't keep seeing destroyed Zord showing up.
Plus, you know, since
Not
they're doing
anyway.
Since they do American cockpit footage conceivably, they could arrange for a cockpit shot of the Bullzord anytime it comes out, even if it's just to be used in the Gigazord. Well, you know, they made this Battleizer costume, like, a year ago already. They need to start getting some mileage out of it.
I guess.
Have they ever shown the Mega Mode costumes outside of the cockpit?
No. I want to say no.
When it's forming. Like when they transform into it, but that's it.
Yeah, but that's stock footage. That doesn't count.
Yeah, but that's about as close as you get.
But were you going to say something else, Ken?
Just that it looks like crap is all.
That's good enough.
Well, it's Samurai, so that kind of goes without saying.
Yeah. But boy, that Battleizer costume looks really awkward to move in.
Not even sure they can move in it.
Don't all Battleizer costumes look awkward to move in?
Especially.
This one seemed worse somehow.
It's like that big fang on his head. It's just...
And the ones on his shoulders.
Shoulder.
And then he had to whip around that bowl spear thing. But speaking of the Battleizer, one of the recent images of the toys we saw was for a Battleizer Gold Ranger, too. That was...
It'd be awesome if we got a Battleizer version of a Figure Arts.
Well, that could happen with Deca Red. Since that did appear in the Sentai version.
Yep. Well, plus they've been airing SPD there this past year anyway, so.
Yeah,
Figure
Arts
Battle Thong.
They only used their Battleizer like twice in SPD.
Yeah, that's because they introduced it like three episodes before the SWAT mode upgrade.
Yeah.
Which rendered it entirely pointless. But it is a Battleizer. But again, I think the most pointless Battleizer was the Lost Galaxy Battleizer.
Not to mention the stupidest looking.
It's a backpack and a pair of shoes. And it doesn't even turn into a motorcycle.
Speaking of things I only used twice.
What, the motorcycle Battleizer?
I think I'm not sure if that got two uses.
Well, if you count the team up, then it got two.
I love the finisher on that, too, where the motorcycle wheels fly off and just crush the monster between them. It was kind of ridiculous.
No, ridiculous was the Dino Thunder one with the stretch arms.
Go-Go Gadget Ranger.
Which was already stupid because he already had one upgrade.
Which one was it that had the battle yo-yo?
That
was the
camp.
Same one.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I wasn't sure.
Attack was Dragon Yo-Yo, I think.
Yes.
I think that says enough right there.
Yeah.
Yes, let's move on.
Please.
So moving on to things that actually matter. This weekend in Japan was the reveal event for the upcoming Super Sentai Go Busters.
Let's driving.
Let's
we That's got several my new more catchphrase. Shots of the first wave of merchandise. GoBuster Ace is looking pretty good.
I think he looks more awkward the more I look at him. At least the toy does.
Yeah. But well, it's a deluxe Super Sentai mecha.
But when they get around to doing the Super Robot Shogakin of it, I'm sure it'll look awesome.
That'll look fantastic.
True.
And that'll be what you'd really want to have anyway, since, you know, they're trying to play up the mobility of the Zord fights in GoBusters. So, this year we probably won't have an Ultra Zord that's standing in a box.
Well, I don't know. It's a little early yet.
Yeah, I suppose.
It'll be a very mobile box.
No, it won't be standing in a box. It'll be legged with a box on top of it.
Innovative.
So it's the Solid Snake Ultra Zord?
Yes, it is.
Or pretty much any pre-Zoo Ranger mecha.
It'll have actual legs.
That was just stacks of boxes, though, Fort Max.
This will have fully mobile legs.
Well, they were pretty much Fluoro Dairy models.
Yeah. But really, they're trying to think outside the box for this year, so, you know, maybe we won't. But
bumps.
That was like the longest setup for a joke, too.
But yeah, the Morphin Brace, I mean, it looks cool that it's not a cell phone, but like we were talking about before the show, it's just not quite as appetizing as the mobile rights.
Its most unique feature to date is the ability to actually say, it's morphin' time.
See, yeah. the, the morph embrace is kind of interesting because, you know, there's the it's morph in time. There's also the sunglasses, which goes back to the Jungle Fury morpher.
And the fact that, according to the magazine scans, apparently the mecha are called Megazords.
Was it the mecha called Megazords or the enemies when they're giant called Megazords?
Both.
I think enemies mecha are called Megazords, and then they transform into a Megazord to fight them.
Okay, then. Well, yep. It's not the first time the Zord name has been used. Time Force used it, or Time Ranger used it the first time.
Oh, yeah.
It's like this whole series is just designed to troll Ranger Board.
I can think of worse reasons to exist.
Yeah, that's a good motivation, I think.
Yeah, I would say.
Which, if that's their motivation, it's going to get really awesome really fast.
And, you know, I've noticed...
You're not allowed to watch the show unless you purchase 30 pieces of merchandise a month.
And you have to not like 17 of them. But,
only 17?
Just the first number that came to me. It seems to me, though, with the more and more subsequent publicity photos of Yellow's actress, she's not looking so much like a tiny little salary man.
No.
She's looking also female, but she's not looking much more attractive either.
Yeah, well.
I don't know. But a couple of notable things I've seen in the magazine scans. Apparently the visors retract, like in Hurricaneer or Lightspeed Rescue.
Well, and there was also the one shot with them with the helmets off, which you don't get commonly unless that's going to be like in the show.
The next to last episode.
Yeah. Like
in Go-Onger.
Go-Onger's final call.
Well, like half of Go-Onger itself, you know, they were always taking your helmets off.
Oh, well, I haven't seen much of Go-Onger, so.
Well, watch more of it. You don't deserve to be on our show if you don't like Go-Onger.
I like Go-Onger.
You don't deserve to live if you don't like Go-Onger.
Go-Onger. I just haven't seen a lot of it yet. I'm still trying to watch Kabuto.
So am I.
Well, keep working on that.
We also got samples of the GoBusters beginning and ending themes, and they're okay, I guess.
I think the opening, at least, will be a lot better when we have the full thing and it's set to all the visuals.
4-2-3-1 scramble. No, it's scramble 4-2-3-1.
That's 4-2-3-1. No, I think it's 4-2-3-1.
That's some pretty awesome English
there. 4-3-2-1. We are VR. Move on.
Call the 5-4-1. Nobody.
Ishni Sanchi Go-Onger.
But yes, the theme song is very ordinary right now, and I don't like the end theme at all. Although I can't remember the last time I guess Go-Onger was the last time there was an end theme I really liked a lot, because it's hard to beat the engine rap.
You're not counting Go-Kydra's end theme.
It's not the same.
Well, it's not as good as Go-Onger, but you know nothing's going to be as good as Go-Onger.
Well, Go-Kydra is as good as Go-Onger in many respects.
I mean, I'm talking about end themes.
Oh. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Nothing really beats the engine rap.
Well, I mean, you had 18 versions of it.
Yeah. So great. It's like 72 minutes of engine rap. So, what else is going on this week?
Confirmation of some returning actors for the Superhero Taisen movie.
Well, yeah, I guess there was that going on, wasn't there?
Yeah, you have DN and Narutaki.
Yes.
Somehow this is all Decade's fault.
Obviously.
It doesn't really matter how, just it is.
You couldn't have a movie with Decade and not have Narutaki. I don't think. He just has to have one, like, just 5-second scene, just to say one thing, and that's it.
Does he have any purpose in the Decade show, or is he just there to be a...
He's never really explained.
He's there to blame everything on Decade.
I'm sure at some point somebody had
there
an idea
a point
of
to
what...
him?
I'm sure there was some idea of what he was about at some point, but it got lost.
I would like to hope that they will take this one last opportunity to actually explain things like that, but that probably won't happen.
No, I don't think it will.
Regardless, we do
Dino's
have...
Dino's just going to show up anyway and take over.
there are scans for the movie now also. Which shows,
just a handful.
Yeah, well, it shows Tsukasa back in his Dai Shocker uniform, along with Marvelous commanding a whole group of lead Sentai villains.
going to be interesting to see how this works out.
And also Deca SWAT and the Kamen Rider Club fighting the Zangek.
You know, assuming that those monsters that he's commanding are coming from keys, that could explain a whole chunk of the extra sounds added into the new mobile rates coming out.
That would be awesome.
That would be weird.
Maybe he just confiscated Bosco's trumpet.
I'm sure there's some perfectly reasonable explanation for all those dead villains.
Being commanded by Marvelous, of all people.
Well, he's Marvelous.
Again, it's Decade's fault.
And he's Marvelous.
Yeah.
I mean,
plus, you know, Blade Run was there, and he never really dies.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, if you have Marvelous and Decade clash, obviously some things are going to get broken.
Yeah.
Like,
and
you know,
not
death.
Going to be either of them.
There's also one shot with Double and Kiva fighting Aquaranger, and I can't help but think Kiva's just kind of a handicap there.
Yes, and if Kiva even has a voice, it will probably just be Kivat.
Yeah. I noticed, though, that they're showing, like, Rangers from all over the place, but they're only showing the Heisei writers so far.
Yeah, I imagine if the Showa writers appear at all, it'll just be minor.
Yeah, but it would seem kind of like a missed opportunity to not, like, have Aquaranger fight Rider 1 or something.
Yeah, I guess. You'd
want Go Ranger to fight.
Except, no, what they need to do, not have the actual... Wait. Not have actual Rider 1, have Masked Rider the First.
Oh.
Use the movie versions for the Showa appearance.
Then can they get murdered horribly? Please?
I don't see why not.
No, please? They can't, just because you want it.
And then they have V3 fighting Big One.
Oh, God. Yes.
No matter who loses, we win.
And then Gak appears out of nowhere as Rider Man, not in suit.
And then he fights other Rider Man.
And nobody knows who the hell he is.
Still needs Kamen Rider G.
Everything needs G.
And we will never, ever get it.
No. Who's got the pills?
You know what they should do? They should just remake Kamen Rider G as Kamen Rider like GEE. Kamen Rider G. Totally different rider. They just like reclaim him that way.
No, go a whole different way with him. Don't even call him Kamen Rider, call him Kamen Wino.
Or Kamen Rider
C O M M O N.
Yes. A Kamen Wino.
Kamen Wino. Oh.
Of course, I'm so proud of the joke I made on Twitter a couple weeks ago about if Jonathan Frakes was a writer, he'd be Kamen Riker.
His helmet would have a beard.
Well, no. His helmet would at first not have a beard, and then later on...
His suit would get progressively larger around the waist.
And then out of nowhere, a joystick would rise up.
No! His beard would be his mid-season upgrade.
All right. That might be better than the Sesame Street Sentai, I gotta say. Of course, they did give us Lord Elmo, so I maybe it's just a tie.
You know, Kirk would make a good writer, too.
Yeah, but you can't make a pun out of his name.
No, but, you know, he's got the attitude to be a secondary writer.
I don't think he'd settle for being secondary.
Well, we know what his finisher would be.
Rider double overhand chop.
Well,
or that shoulder roll.
Well, no. Well, first he'd have to punch him in the face, then the gut. His other finisher would be the two leg kick.
Oh, the drop kick. Rider drop kick.
Sometimes off a wall.
So I take it we're out of news to talk about.
Well, almost.
Okay, well, why don't you finish that up?
Well, Figure Arts 4 was released last week, along with Gokai Pink, so that's the end of the Gokaigers for now until they start announcing the Tamashii Web exclusives.
And I have again. I have my pink and silver on the way here, so I'll have my complete set soon.
And along with Figure Arts Forze came the module pack, didn't it?
The first module pack, and the stand with the rocket drill effects parts.
Yeah. Also known as stuff they easily could have included with Forze normally.
Well, Forze, because it would up the price considerably. It's not like with Tajadoru, and they just left out the wings that it absolutely needed.
Well,
these are things that are not really necessary, but it's kind of nice to have.
Like everything that comes with the Gokaigers?
Yeah.
That cost the same price?
Yeah, but at the same time, Kamen Riders sell more, so they're going to squeeze more out of them.
Well, good news for everybody who bought a Power Dizer, because Figure Arts Forze looks just right on the motorcycle.
Yeah.
Actually, it looked like the Figure Arts Forze is actually a little bit smaller than the module change version.
He is, and it seems like he fits better on the bike, actually.
Yeah, so that's like our backdoor Figure Arts Machigler.
Pretty much.
Until the real one comes out later.
The real one comes out later.
No, it will just be a vending machine.
It'll come out, but it'll only be in platform mode.
Yeah.
The wheels won't roll or anything.
Why would you want that?
Oh, no, even better. It'll be weighted so it can only sit on its back.
Just like your mother?
Yes.
It's re-entry mode.
Again, just like your mother?
I burned away your mom's heat shields.
I busted your mom's O-ring. That's right, I made a Challenger joke about your mom.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
And Ken just gets it.
No, I got it. I'm still reeling from it.
My.
Moving on.
That went all kinds of places.
Again, just like your mother.
Okay, so I'm going to assume that's the end of the news, and we should probably just move along before this gets any worse.
Okay, your audio quality is kind of out of control.
Is it?
Awesome.
At least that's
it's
what
been
I'm
wavering over here in my end too,
and now yours is doing the same.
Oh, good.
Everybody sounds
and now
good to
yours
me.
Is doing the same.
I think Paladin's
the problem is Paladin.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
hey, everybody sounds fine to me.
Same here.
Yep.
Okay then.
Okay, so we got Forze last week in time for the show, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we only got one episode of that to do. So why don't we do that last? So now it's time to catch up on Gokaiger.
Holy crap.
Okay, Ken volunteers. Get comfortable, everybody.
Oh, funny.
Yo ho, me mighties, it's time for Pirate Sentai action.
47 was the last one. I mean, the one before last, right?
Yeah, the one we didn't get in time for last week.
Since this week was 48, I assume the one before that was 47, yes.
I'm not really paying attention. I wasn't really paying attention to the episode number. It's just what I was downloading. Okay, anyway, they got Ninja Man as their ultimate power for Cocker Ranger, and so they have 30 out of 35 ultimate powers, which is Bosco.
34 ultimate powers.
Well, 35 if you count the Gokaigers.
Which doesn't count.
I'm counting it for the purposes.
Well, yeah, but you're doing it wrong.
Okay, they have 29 of 34 ultimate powers. Happy?
No, I believe they have 30 of 34, don't they?
No, Bosco,
no,
has,
Bosco
five.
Has 5.
Oh, Bosco does have 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, which will become...
Well, the important thing here is that they ring up Bosco to say, hey, what's up? We want powers. Let's meet.
Yeah, which I'm surprised that he just kind of flipped his phone out and did that. But, of course, Bosco is already chilling and attacks them. With his
because
last...
Captain Marvelous exists to dick with our expectations.
Yes.
Yeah.
And of course, I do like the fact that I'm was the one to bring it up, and the others were like, there's no way that's going to work.
And then Bosco, and then, you know, he just flips it out. And
hello,
Bosco,
Marvy,
like, oh.
Then. Marvy-chan!
What are you doing? Here, have two giant robots to blow up your ship.
And everyone's all like, oh, balls.
Because this should be the surprise at this point.
Yeah, really.
Anyway, they...
It makes me wonder, though, like, you know, let's see. Did Bosco expect them to call him? Or it was just going to sit there and wait for the perfect hilarious moment to attack them?
Yes, because
like
Bosco... Bosco is a troll.
Call him B.
Bosco is a troll. Of course he's going to just sit there and wait until it's the most hilarious possible time to attack them. Now, granted, that could have just been later on that day. He might have just been waiting for dinner.
But he was probably shadowing the galleon, just waiting. It's like, I'm gonna wait for them to come to me because this is gonna be the most hilarious time to do.
Now, to be fair though, it's not that hard to shadow the galleon because if you see a giant red flying pirate ship, it's kind of easy to keep track of from anywhere in the city.
And there's a thing we should mention with part two of this later on that relates to that, but I will try to remember to do that when we get there.
Yeah, especially when they only fly around Japan.
Well, no. Now, when they were looking for the Animarium before, they said they flew around the world several times. I assume
yes,
that means
Japan consists of the entire world.
I was gonna say, I assume that means outside of Japan, but you never really know.
There is no outside of Japan in Sentai.
Who else could they sell the toys to?
That's how Jungle Fury had, you know, the Serengeti in Japan.
Okay, so
Japan covered Africa too at that point.
Okay, so
it's just like G-Guns
there
then.
Were mountains in Florida too.
Yeah,
they fight the last two of his droids and get their asses kicked until they summon Kanzen Gokaio.
Reminding kids of all the Zords they can buy.
Hooray!
Yes, using Deka and Magi Dragon and all that fun stuff. But you know, Bosco kind of just casually takes it sort of well that his last two giant monsters are getting blown to freaking hell. Rocket Punch blows him up.
No, that's Mach Falcon Punch.
Mach Falcon Rocket Punch. Mach Falcon Rocket Punch.
No, it's Mach Falcon Punch.
Exactly.
Like Falcon Punch.
Yeah, but his name is Mach Falcon.
No, his name is Mach Falcon.
Mach Falcon.
Anyway, Bosco gives his monkey some bling.
And then he shoots Sally in the face.
And you're like, hell yes, finally, stupid monkey.
But, well, the Gokaijers are shocked, and Bosco takes his leave. Of course, I'm, Guy, and Doc are the three that rush to Sally's side, while the others just kind of stand around.
So the stupid ones rush up, and the smart ones say, yeah, we're not falling for this.
Except Marvelous agrees to take Sally onto the ship to treat her wounds.
Again, which, Marvelous exists to dick with our expectations.
Well, also...
Joe and Luca are like, are you freaking serious?
But, you know, Marvelous has had the recollection of being betrayed by Bosco himself, so...
Yeah, so...
He's a little sympathetic to the stupid monkey.
Yeah, so he walks right into what Bosco is planning, sort of. Entirely, but...
Yeah.
Anyway...
And Navi is less than happy about it.
Yeah. While Guy and Doc figure out.
Well, first of all, Guy speaks to Sally in their native language.
That's what I was saying. He and Doc figure out how to communicate.
Yes, but the thing that makes it worse is then Doc comes up and does the same thing.
But Doc does it effectively.
Affectionately.
Well, of course, he's not Guy.
While Guy makes a fool of himself, Doc
I thought you were going to imitate
subtly and just stops as soon as it isn't needed anymore.
Marvelous has a flashback to before Bosco betrayed them and Marvelous himself had gotten his ass kicked and Bosco was treating his wounds.
It totally looks like they're about to make out in that scene too. Because Bosco's all making kissy faces and leaning in towards Marvelous. Search your feelings, you know it'd be true.
Mentioned is that the other TL is constantly having to rewrite Bosco's lines to make him seem less gay.
Really?
Really?
It's working.
I don't think it's possible, actually.
I just can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the translator can't rewrite his face to the same effect.
his expressions, intonation of his words.
Yeah. Well, there's only so much you can do with subtitles.
Speaking of such things, Marvelous and Joe have a moment in the sunset.
Oh, I thought you were talking about subtitles.
Well, Joe grills him on just why exactly they decided to walk straight into Bosco's obvious
trap.
Sorry,
Joe grills him?
Grills him.
Oh, grills, yes.
The other part comes later.
The subtext is all over the place today.
Yeah.
Among other things.
regardless, it's nice that they actually point out the fact that, yeah, this is a very, very obvious trap, or this episode would have fallen straight on its face.
Yeah. The fact that they show that Marvelous knows it's a trap adds a layer to the episode where it makes you wonder where it's going.
Yeah, especially in a few moments. But he says they're not going to make Sally a part of the crew, that once her wounds are healed, she's off.
And Joe's all like, uh-huh, sure.
Sure. Right. He's like, yeah, right.
He points out that they have a bad habit of picking up strays.
Yeah, which is pretty much the entire crew.
Yeah, look at the last monkey they picked up.
Yeah, he's basically go on silver.
regardless, Sally that night has a flashback.
And goes for an Oscar performance.
Yes. It appears that Bosco gave her this nice necklace as a memento to remember him by.
And it's all full of bananas and has a giant clock on the front of it.
Yes.
What could possibly go wrong?
He says that, you know, so long as she gets onto the ship and brings in the treasure chest, she'll have all the bananas she could ever want.
But then she remembers getting shocked.
And the Gokaiser's helping her. And for once, I actually don't mind the stupid monkey. But she does still go through with it, takes the treasure chest, and runs off. She meets up with Bosco, but hesitates up until the Gokaigers arrive and point out the fact that...
fooled you.
Yes. Psych! Because, as Marvelous exists to dick with our expectations, the treasure chest is a fake and does not have the ranger keys in it.
Well, now, see, I don't think that's exactly an accurate statement, because my expectation when the scene with Sally was still going on was, okay, they're not going to leave the chest full of keys down there unguarded in the cabin with the monkey.
Let me rephrase. Yeah. Marvelous exists to dick with Bosco's expectations.
Now, see, that one I'll give you.
Plus, also, here's another thing. The treasure chest was closed.
Yep.
Yeah, the chest is never closed.
Yeah.
It's true. Marvelous always leaves it open to stick his hand through it like Scrooge swimming through a money bin.
Yeah, see, they need to have more than 199 ranger keys just so they can do that.
Fill up a bin just with ranger keys.
Like a claw tub or something.
Yeah. With the little diving board.
Yes. regardless... The Gokaigers kind of tell Bosco off, and then Sally actually goes to Marvelous's side instead.
Which Bosco finds hilarious.
Because he has a switch in his hand, and you know what Bosco really likes?
Bombs. Remember that Mega Ranger episode?
Remember the O-Ranger episode? Thank you, O-Red, for giving me the freaking idea.
That really is his fault, too, isn't it?
It totally is. Like, he gave the Gokaigers the Galleon Buster, but he gave Bosco the worst idea that he just sticks with.
He gave the Gokaigers the Galleon Buster, but he made Bosco aware of bombs.
That's the worst thing he could have ever done, because then
he turned him into Diva Tox.
Actually, now that you mention it, he does kind of look like a Divatox dressed as a man. I was going to say a male Divatox, but Bosco does not look like a male.
I remember when they first saw the episode preview, I was like, wow, they had this old woman with the Six Ranger keys. By the way, I think you even made a comment on Twitter like that, and then I came back a minute later, I was like, oh wait, that's not a woman.
Grandma's a pirate.
Regardless,
it's crazy.
He turns Sally into a suicide bomber, and blows the crap out of her and Marvelous.
Although, everyone with monkey guts.
But just as the explosion's about to start, Marvelous is trying to reach and grab the thing off of her neck.
Yep.
Because he's Marvelous.
And, yeah, and you know, the bad thing is, there are literally pieces of Sally in the foreground, if you look.
Yes, yes, there are.
And I honestly felt really sorry for her, finally. The moment before she got blown the f***ing hell.
I was really kind of surprised that she actually blew up and not just explosion, then the suit falls down.
Yeah.
But yeah, you gotta hand it to him. You make the monkey sympathetic just before you kill it.
Well, we see next episode why she didn't just fall down. But regardless, the other Gokaigers are... Marvelous is not in a good position, and the other Gokaigers are freaking pissed. So they do the next best thing and try to kill Bosco.
They whip out the power of dicks.
Yep, they change into Die Ranger and use all of their powers, but that serves nothing to do nothing, including Luca having the ability to reverse time.
Oh, now, and of course, here's the reason why it didn't work.
Because Guy as Keeper Ranger didn't use the rock band, he used the jackhammers
instead.
I was thinking that too. If he just would have used the rock band.
Yeah.
Because nothing can defeat the power of hair metal.
Okay, they try Hurricaneer next, and Bosco
laughs.
Deflects all of that too. Next is Ginga Man and the Lights of Orion.
No.
It was actually shouldn't work like that, but anyway.
Yeah, it really shouldn't work like that because it's supposed to require all the primary colors together.
Not Black Knight. Which, yeah. Regardless, it's...
Now, it's possible the Ginga Man were just stupid.
I think it's more than possible.
I will entertain that notion, yes. Now, the one mistake...
I would entertain the Ginga Man being stupid than the Gokaigers being stupid.
The one mistake they made in this was not assuming the power of Kaku Ranger and, you know, running away.
Yeah, but Marvelous can't really run right now.
No, but somebody can pick him up and take him.
Besides that, Bosco would just chase them onto the galleon at this point.
I suppose.
He should have tried Gal Ranger to duplicate the org technique of, hey, look over there.
There's a lot of different things they could have done. I think Bosco probably still would have kicked their asses at the rate it was going.
Yeah, I imagine so. I can't think of anything that would have actually let them, you know, win.
So Bosco steps onto the galleon, bitch smacks Navi, and he has all six Gokai Ranger keys, which means he has all 34 plus one ultimate powers.
Well, that's not good.
No, the Gokaigers are all beaten. And to be continued.
Dun dun dun.
Oh no, how will they ever recover?
Hit Navi.
Yeah, he bitch slapped Navi into the floor and then stepped on her.
I hate Bosco now.
And then he sits in Marv's chair.
Nobody sits in Marvelous's chair except Ninja Man.
Even he barely got out alive.
Regardless, you want me to carry over into the next part, or...?
Sure.
Okay. So, part two. They check on Marvelous, and he's not doing so well, having taken a bomb to the face.
He's
actually
fine.
Considering he took a bomb to the face, he's doing remarkably well.
Yeah, this is true, but of course then it begins to rain ominously.
So they go to they take him to the O's Cathedral.
But first, not before Bosco puts the ultimate powers into the five teams that he had taken. Which was what was that?
Five Sun Man, Flash Man,
Sun Vulcan.
Sun Vulcan, Mask Man,
Change Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Because she's awesome. Navi finds a knife on the floor and cuts the rope and escape. So Bosco locks off all the doors on the galleon, and despite the fact his trumpet has five slots instead of six.
And no keys plugged into it.
He had keys plugged into it.
He had keys in it.
He just only had five of them. He summons all six Gokaigers as clones.
Maybe
when Guy isn't around, his key can will itself into existence through the power of fanfic.
Well, I was just thinking maybe that Gokai Christmas key was still around and he had that plugged in to take up Red and Green.
I figure he just had the Gokai Red already out off screen so he could slap around as he pleased.
I think he had the silver key plugged into the front of the trumpet.
Oh god, now Mickey is XV on my thing.
Well.
Anyway, back to the ominous...
XV should be so lucky.
In a rundown cathedral in front of a subtle imagery.
Marvelous died for their sins.
Yeah, but Marvelous is there sitting in there talking about the ultimate power and what it could possibly be.
Ultimate
Marvelous
treasure.
Actually, yeah.
Well, he doesn't care.
He doesn't care. He just,
wants to get it.
Wants to know what it is. And since he set himself to that, then that's what he's going to do.
See, that's what I like. It's not what he's after. It's the act of acquisition.
Yeah, it's not the treasure that actually matters. It's the journey.
Getting it.
Not the destination, it's the journey getting there.
It's the getting it.
A little both.
Well, anyway.
It's toy hunter mentality.
Yeah.
Navi contacts them from the Gokai Bridge, but has to hide when the fake Gokai Red, or the pirated Gokai Red, I should say, walks in. The other five go off to help her and sneak on board the ship, but they tell Marvelous to sit his ass down. Or Joe does, anyway.
Okay, now here's a part where Bosco had a better idea than the Gokaigers. You know, when we started out, we were talking about how it's easy to spot the galleon when you're flying it around Japan. Bosco had it landed in a canyon.
Yeah. Of course, the Gokaigers were actively searching for something, and Bosco already has everything.
That's true, but it makes it harder for them to find the galleon again.
I wonder how many canyons there are in Japan.
Well, probably when you go past the Japanese Serengeti. You run into, like, the Japanese Grand Canyon, and then, you know.
And then you have the Quarry Canyon.
Regardless, the Gokaigers do find it pretty quickly. And
well, that's because Navi had told them where it was.
Yeah, they did.
It's at point 120 on the map.
140.
Of course. What map?
Oh, was it 140?
Yeah.
Anyway, Doc actually does not hesitate about the fact they're about to leap off a canyon with no powers.
And I don't know why they call this stealthily sneaking into the galleon.
That's because
not
they didn't
notice a giant hole in the roof.
Stealthily for them.
Yeah, they didn't blow anything up on their way in.
They didn't shoot anybody on their way in.
So apparently they go through the roof and land in the galleon's giant diesel engine room.
Sure. Kind of nice to actually see parts of it, though.
Yeah, even I suppose so.
Yeah. Anyway, they split up to try and search for Navi and get to the ship. But they run into their pirated doubles. Conveniently, they run into each one of them that corresponds to them.
This goes to show why we don't see more of the galleon, really, because none of the interior areas look remotely like they belong inside the Gokai galleon.
Yeah. But, you know, this is actually an interesting situation because you have the actors fighting their suit actors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And considering how much these suit actors have lended to Gokaiger, especially in general, kind of a nice thing, actually.
And
yeah,
Doc
but...
is the best. He comments on the...
Yes! He's like,
he does it like, Dad, what? I don't wipe my hands off my pants like I just washed them when I pose.
And they're like,
yeah, you do.
Doing that on purpose.
Anyway, the Pirate Gokai Red does find Navi and takes it to Bosco, while the other ones kick the hell out of their own selves.
Now, I do like how Pirated Red does find Navi. He pretends to leave. Navi thinks that he's gone, goes up, and oh, there he
Peek-a-boo.
Is.
Now, the thing I like about this fight with their doubles is that they don't win on, like, power. Obviously, they're going to overpower them until they get the weapons back. They win on pure skill and being able to do their do their own skills far better than the pirated copies.
Well, yeah, and it's not like a lot of time when there's duplicates like that where they have to switch off opponents to counter them. They just know their own moves. They know how to get around what they're doing.
Yeah, it's like Guy literally uses Silver's own move against him, parries it, and then just kicks him into a freaking wall. Mm-hmm. Then takes his spear back, while Doc's is freaking awesome, if only because they do that in one freaking shot.
And because Doc says that when it comes to the crazy improvised moves, that's really all him instead.
What's most impressive is the fact that Doc's actor does it himself. It's not a stunt double at all.
Well, you know, back early in the series when there were more untransformed fights, he was doing some of that stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, Imes is a bit less impressive because she's an idol and all that stuff. But regardless.
It's impressive that, unlike the Rangers and In Space, they can actually tackle their doubles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no trouble thinking that the Gokaigers could take down the Psycho Rangers if they met them.
Anyway, Marvelous...
Hint, if anyone's listening.
Yeah.
Marvelous, of course, does not listen to them telling him to sit his ass down and starts to limp away when he realizes he still has in his hand a part of Sally's necklace, because when he tried to grab it, Sally actually stuck it inside her. Which is why she...
That sounds wrong out of context.
Yeah, a little bit.
It does, but that's what she did. So
she put it in her big hole.
Regardless, doing that, Sally saved Marvelous's life from taking the full impact of the bomb.
And that's why she rained down little monkey bits instead of just falling down like a normal suit.
Yep. Anyway, Pirate of Gokai Red has Navi and brings her to Bosco, but before he can do anything, the rest of the Gokaigers walk up. And then Joe tries to shoot him. All five try to shoot him in the face.
Because it's not the pirates, it's the real Gokaigers.
Yep.
Couldn't see that coming.
As Luca says, pirated pirates couldn't stand up to the real deal.
It's kind of meta.
It is, but
it's suitable.
Nice line. I liked it.
Yeah.
I like, as Luca's standing there explaining it, Doc's just spinning his guns.
Yeah.
But that also sounds wrong out of context.
Anything.
And then Bosco decides that they will pay for their lack of vision, and he force lightning them out the ship.
Yeah, he throws them through a wall. Oh, yeah, he does force lightning them. Well, yeah, he never showed that power before, did he?
And now there's two holes to patch in the ship.
Oh, great. Anyway, Bosco and his Power to Gokai Red, well, he sticks the Power to Gokai Red on them, and then they change into Magi Red, Gosei Red, Deka Red, Denji Red, and Ginga Red.
Is this the first time we've seen the girl Ginga Red suit?
No, we saw it in the quilt show.
Oh, okay.
So they probably made it for this episode, and then had to get some
first clipped it.
Yeah. Anyway, the combined Reds kick the Pirate of Gokai Red's ass. It, literally, he like doesn't even have a chance to do anything. They just lay the hell into him.
They're kind of upset by now.
Yeah, you think?
They finish with a shuriken.
Yes. Yep. Joe, as Denji Red, beats the hell out of the pirate with a shuriken, and that's it. They got the Gokai Red key back, and then they whip out the Galleon Buster. You do a
special charge.
Special charge.
Very special.
It was unexpected.
I like Bosco's just standing there, arms crossed, like, come on. He reverses the blast at them, takes the Galleon Buster, takes the keys, and has the keys back already.
I guess that wasn't such a special charge after all.
Yeah, it only took him about 2 minutes.
It was special, and it was like a retarded charge.
Well, that's why I was saying to start with, it's a very special charge. Because it's guys.
Anyway, Marvelous shows up. And I wonder where he got the gun from, actually.
What?
Because he doesn't have his key back yet.
Always carry a spare.
Okay. I guess. Well,
yeah. That sounds like a pirate mentality.
He had it in his jacket the whole time.
That works for me. Anyway.
Next to the samurai key.
Yeah.
Bosco says that Akka Red is from this world. That he had intended that for all the keys they risked their lives collecting, to just hand them over without asking for anything.
So Bosco lets Marvelous in on what everybody watching the show understood from the start.
Yeah. And Marvelous does not give a flying
Bosco seems nonplussed by the fact that Marvelous doesn't care.
Yeah, it's like, it doesn't matter who stands in his way, even if it's Akka Red himself, he's going to blow them away. So this is a nice moment when it's kind of refreshing to have the hero just kind of step up and say, I am going to kill you right here and right now, and that's going to be the end of it.
I don't care what you're saying anymore. It's just noise.
Yep, and Bosco said,
Bosco's got this what the cock look on his face.
So nice.
Got a what look? What was that look it's he had, so Mickey?
Nice. You heard me.
It's so nice to actually see, though, Bosco surprised. So much so that he says, let's proceed to the showdown, Marv. Or should I say, marvelous.
And then awesome Gokai change.
Yeah, when Joe tosses the red key at him, Marvelous just casually catches it with his mobirates and then transforms.
Okay, now remember...
It's more like Joe like flings it like f***ing Gambit from across the field straight to the keyhole.
He throws it so hard that it flips, all right, that it flips up.
Yeah.
Okay, now awesome. remember back with the last episode of O's, how disappointing the last change in the Tatoba was, and I was saying they could have done it so much better if he'd scanned the metals in the air.
Mm-hmm.
This is basically the equivalent to that, and it made me realize, you know, since Sentai uses stock footage by default for all the transformations, every time they don't do it, they will try to make it a little bit more special than just a stock footage transformation.
Yeah.
But since Kamen Riders don't use the stock footage like that, I mean, the mentality is completely different about how to set up those transformations on the fly.
Yeah, the end of Double kind of managed that because you had both Philip and Shotaro running forward, and then the Extreme Memory flies down, and then they transform straight into Extreme.
Mm-hmm.
That worked.
Yeah.
But that's because Double is awesome.
Well, yes.
Also, the way they did it right there, specifically there, was awesome.
Yeah, and how they started up Extreme Dream at the same time.
Yes.
Regardless, not only does Joe throw it so hard that it flips up, he throws it so hard that it basically turns itself when it goes into the
But no, I mean, the point is, that was a really awesome Gokai change, and it was really suitable for, you know, big final battle between them.
Yeah, and what a freaking fight it is. They don't undersell the fact that Bosco is so powerful he can defeat all six of them without, you know, blinking. But because Marvelous takes a lot of hits in here.
Yeah.
But the thing is, he keeps getting back up.
Right.
Up until even to when they switch weapons, after the final wave doesn't do any good.
Well, it's not that the final wave doesn't do any good, it's that Bosco basically counters with his own. And
final wave, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so powerful it knocks each other's weapons to each other, and they just still just continue to fight.
Yeah.
It's completely awesome they fight with one of their weapons and one of the other guy's weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It continues up until the point where Bosco...
Actually, the switch is pretty cool because Marvelous goes double swords and is effectively deflecting every shot from Bosco's two guns.
Yeah. It looks like Bosco has Marvelous down until he rolls around, avoids a shot, and then... He steps on Bosco's foot and jams Bosco's sword through both of their feet.
Ow.
Yeah.
My jaw dropped when that happened. It did not close until the end of the battle.
I know. It reminds me a bit of the end of Takeru and Juzo's battle in Shinkenger, except it was Juzo's, you know, own...
sword.
Will, or the sword, acting against him and stabbing himself in the foot.
Yeah.
And he was already dead at that point. Takeru had beat him. He had sliced him down the middle. This, on the other hand...
This was different.
Uh-huh.
It's like, the epitome of a last-ditch effort to finish off Bosco.
And pretty much.
It works.
It's the most effective way to stop somebody that's as speedy Gonzalez as Bosco.
Mm-hmm.
How do you stop somebody that's extremely fast? You nail their feet down.
The only way you can, if it has to be.
And, you know, to be entirely honest, at this moment, I wasn't sure Marvelous was going to get up until, like, the final episode. Like, I legitimately was not... I know he's going to be alive. He's going to survive to the final episode. I was not sure that he was going to get up here.
Mm-hmm. Especially from the way they're shooting at other Rangers of replacing Marvelous' position with Guy taking the lead.
Uh-huh.
That really felt like they're kind of setting up like a secondary ranking there.
Even though Joe really does kind of default to de facto leader.
And if it wasn't Joe, yeah. It would be Luca.
Yeah.
But the way they're shooting them, though.
Yeah.
Plus, also, I wasn't even sure that Bosco was going to
die.
Wasn't even beaten yet.
Yeah, I almost honestly thought that like Bosco was going to limp off or something and end up stabbing Actos in the back or something and gaining some great power and becoming the final villain or something like that.
After all this, I was terrified he was going to grow big and ruin the whole fight with the Megazord sequence.
Yeah, and you did, but there is not a single mecha battle in this entire episode.
The only
there
reason
wasn't the
there
start.
Were any Zord mecha at all was because
wasn't.
They happened to live
amazing.
In one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, actually, this is the first episode of Gokaidra that hadn't had any, has it?
Exactly. Because even the stock...
And I think it's better off that way.
Yeah, it definitely helped the pacing of the episode.
Yeah, regardless. But the way... And Marvelous revealed he deflected the shot with Sally's... That last bit of Sally's necklace, which is...
Bosco is hoisted by his own petard.
And now, while that is kind of a stereotypical thing, the way it's displayed is kind of freaking awesome.
Petard.
Regardless, Marvelous is going to need a new jacket after this one.
It's a shame. That was a nice coat.
I'm sure he has spares.
Oh. He's going to need a new foot.
But
oh, Guy can write one for him.
Yeah. Marvelous is down, but he's...
Wait, maybe they got more of those Shinkinger sword healing bandages.
Those crop up a lot in Shinkinger, so maybe they gave him some spares. Anyway, they got the Ranger keys back. They have all the ultimate powers. Marvelous can barely walk. But I'm
and
sure
their greatest enemy is dead.
And Joe makes the funniest noise.
Yeah. There's that. Acting!
4 to go.
3 to go.
Next week, we see the greatest treasure in the universe.
It's the Triforce of power. It's the Triforce. That's all.
I'd buy that as the greatest treasure in the universe. Sure. Man.
There's also cameos from previous Super Sentai series, which I'm presuming are from the 5 that Bosco stole.
Now, since that's the greatest treasure in the universe, is anyone else expecting Navi's vocabulary in the next episode to consist of just, hey, listen, look, watch out, hey, listen?
Oh, God. I didn't think of that.
And wait, Bosco had that green tunic.
Yeah. Anyway, looks like next episode is going to be Itharn's last, and they use a Gokai change, which is all of those 5 powers that Bosco sold, but one for each of the main 5.
Let's just get this shit over with quick.
Well, it's basically that's why they had Bosco steal 5. But yeah, it looks like Isarn's going to die next episode, and I guess Dairanda will follow, and then Actos will be in the last episode.
It is the beginning of the end, unfortunately.
Yep, because Shinken Gokaio actually appears next week.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Actos died before someone else.
Dairanda is the final villain.
I could see that.
That would be hilarious. And it would actually be more interesting than Actos, probably.
Actos has done nothing.
Even
R.I.D. Megatron did more.
I know this comparison is expected of me, but Digimon Cross Wars, its main villain was Bagramon. He sits on a throne for the entire series until the next to last episode. Literally. He just sits there. There is a more interesting villain, Dark Nightmon. He gets taken out in the 4th to last episode. And then the last 3 episodes are very kind of
blah, blah, pretty cure.
They're boring. But that's what Actos reminds me of. And that kind of makes me a little bit nervous. But given Gokaidra's much better track record, I'm hoping they can pull something out that makes him slightly interesting.
If nothing else, the Gokaidras themselves will be entertaining.
Yes. And there is at least that.
Yes.
Welcome back.
I didn't go anywhere. What are you talking about?
Jim Curry.
Exactly. Yes, when you go back and listen to this later, I will be talking through that last few minutes.
Oh, but yeah, actually, I'm almost kind of glad that we got to do both those episodes on top of each other, because it served the conversation well, I think.
Yeah, I was not upset once I saw how the first episode how it paced out. I was not upset that we weren't able to do them 1 week at a time.
Because that was among Gokaiger's best episodes, and it has a lot. 48 was probably one of the best.
Yeah.
You know, Forza came out a little bit late this week, and I was fully prepared to just go on with the two Gokaiger episodes because they work so well as a pair.
Yeah. And Forza was just kind of all right this week anyway.
Oh, that's right. We still have to talk
about
Forza.
You know what
else
works well as a pair? Your mom's breasts.
It's much larger than the size of a pair, though.
Well, it depends what it's a pair of.
A pair of moons?
That's no moon.
Thanks, Paladin.
Your mom is a binary system.
That's what I was looking for.
Yes, but a binary system isn't two moons, it's two stars.
Oh, shit. I think you're almost running out of sizes you can increase that to.
Your mom is the mass of two stars.
I don't think a star's that big.
Tingen Papa Gurren Lagen.
Is this going to lead into another Fried Shrimp Event Horizon thing? Because it feels just like it's heading that direction.
Anyway, Forza.
So we're back to the magnets, aren't we?
Right.
Well, switch on to space-time or whatever.
Switch on!
They can do Howard's if nobody objects.
Sure.
Alright, after the obligatory recap, Dragon resumes the attack on Meteor, but Forz uses the Elect State to try and drive off the Dragon.
Even though that worked so well last episode.
Yes.
He well, all that matters is that's a distraction.
That electric attacks are not very effective against dragon types.
I'm just shit again.
Now, Ken, you shouldn't have been on the show if you're not into the obligatory Pokemon references.
I'm just joking.
Sure.
Hey, if you can give me hell for Digimon.
Well, you deserve it.
Maybe. Probably.
No, we can be hell for Pretty Cure.
Which I've brought up all of one time. The other time XV brought it up.
No, actually, the other time Wingus brought it up, actually.
Yeah, so I haven't even brought it up myself, actually.
You know, Wingus was on 1 week, we called him a replacement for you, and he went blah blah Digimon blah blah Pretty Cure, and the rest is history.
It sounded just like you.
Yeah, I remember, I heard. I was driving when I heard that.
Oh, excellent.
It's okay, Ken, because I like Sailor Moon and I'm gay. So, you know, you can like Pretty Cure and be gay too.
Well,
that's how it works, right?
Not quite.
Oh, well.
Are you sure? I remember that one time on Twitter you were talking about f***ing multiple men.
No, I missed a comma, all right?
And instead, okay, so you missed the comma and instead went to the multiple men.
Okay, context.
And just so you know, Ken, I'm going to delete all that context part out when I edit the podcast.
I figured you were when I said that.
Yeah, well, it's your fault for trying to explain things.
Anyway, Bugman.
Sure.
Okay, then.
Bugman?
Segwaying back onto the cliff.
Multiple Bugman.
Are you sure about that, Paladin?
No, I'm never sure of anything on this show. So Kengo's still furious at Gentaro, and when Gentaro begs for help finding and using the magphone that was blasting off again last time, Kengo declines and declares himself out of the Kamen Rider Club.
He's a member of the track team now.
Yeah.
You Gentaro, I'm sick of your bullshit. That,
you know? So yeah, member of the track team, so how long do we give him before he just keels over and dies?
Well, we were all thinking it. You have to admit that.
Regardless.
Meanwhile, a couple of police officers are speaking with Principal Lieber about the constant monster attacks on the school.
Which is actually one of the only things in this episode that I really, really liked. Because it's a logical thing.
And then, of course, Chairman shows up and tells them that these are not the droids they're looking for.
Yeah, so yeah, apparently the chairman has Geass.
Yeah, that explains... Well, he's had Geass. We've known this.
I don't remember it.
Well, I mean, his eyes have always been glowing red anyway.
Yes, but he hasn't used it to mind control people directly before, has he?
No, this is true.
Yeah, that's...
He specifically has Lelouch's Geass.
Yes.
Okay, so... I don't know.
Wait, Mickey, plug out, because I can't even understand what you're trying. You know it's bad when I can't tell what he's saying.
Okay, so... Does the chairman always dress like Chairman Koga? I keep expecting to buy it out of a pepper.
See him in the light.
Yeah, it is one of... Well, no, we saw him in the light one other time when Yuki went to his office. That's been about it.
Because, like, you know, I, if he started biting peppers, I'd be totally into it. Wearing a cape.
Maybe he can do that for the Iron Chef episode later on.
Oh, God.
Well, the secret ingredient is switches.
Well, Kabuto had
make ice cream out of them.
Kabuto had an Iron Chef story.
No, the secret ingredient would probably be Sonata.
Hmm.
Oh, that's sad.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
Once the cops are gone, Red Eyes Man tells Libra that he's running out of patience to collect the rest of the horoscopes. So Libra's days might be numbered too here.
Probably because. Seems after so many failures that they just get sucked into oblivion.
Scorpio might need some company in the home for infinite losers.
Mm. Yeah.
It's hard to collect 12 generals if you keep killing them.
Well, no, to be fair, he only killed Sonata. The switch was left behind.
I guess we don't specifically know that she's dead.
She can get better.
Yeah, I mean, it's a home for infinite losers, not hell.
Yeah.
Besides, even if it is a black hole, technically all of the information of her like atomic structure should still be in there somewhere. They can just pull it out and rebuild her from the ground up.
They have technology.
Yes.
Yeah, she's probably in a white hole, which probably means they'll need Charivon to pull her out.
Or she's, you know, in the Killing Jar universe, and she's pink now.
Okay.
Magnet board time.
Anyway, in the rabbit hutch, Miu divides the club in half. Some of them will hunt for Magiphone, and the others will try to convince Kengo to come back.
And I love that they little button magnets for him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yuki's magnet is the best thing ever. Did you say Magiphone?
Oh, whatever. Magphone.
But yes, Yuki's is great. Her dressed up as the rocket switch.
That is the greatest
and labeled
thing.
Space nerd.
With the little Force head rocket next to it.
Well, that's truth in advertising.
Yeah.
And Kengo's the nurse VIP.
And Jake's wasn't very accurate, though.
Twinkle.
Yeah. Yeah, Miyu's distinctions are all very...
Honest.
Honest. They're out of money, actually.
Well, Jake should have read, like, you know, Bitchy Queen or something, though.
And what would she call herself?
Oh, no. Yeah.
Yeah, President Queen. She's not just the queen, she's also the president.
Yes. She's also a client.
She's elected royalty.
And then she's going to go serve in the Senate.
And then she died.
God. Damn it, Lucas. You know what the worst part of it all is? He's subjecting the world to Phantom Menace again this year.
In
3D. The worst part is people are still going to pay for it.
Yeah, it'll make millions of dollars. And it's
well, of course it'll make millions of dollars. It costs hundreds of dollars just to go see it.
Exactly. It's all profit.
But the question is, will the toy line crash and burn like it did last time?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a Star Wars toy line, right? The only people who buy that is collectors.
The only thing the kids want is
Lego Star Wars and lightsaber toys to beat each other
well,
with.
The first Star Phantom Menace toy line essentially is what killed Kenner, wasn't it?
Yeah. I believe at Toys R Us, we brought the figures into 98 cents and they still wouldn't sell.
And these were the ones that had those little electronic...
The Comtech chips.
Yes.
Ah, the Comtech reader.
God.
That's an intro quote.
All right, anyway.
Intro quote. Sounds like
did,
talking
did
about...
Did you just have one out just waiting for that referenced?
I always have next to me at all times, just in case.
It's only taking you 2 years in the show to have you...
You're listening to Superhero Time segue off a cliff.
I don't even know where the hell we are at this point.
Okay, Kengo's joined the track team as a replacement for the Rider Club and watches his tall friend, I didn't care enough to look up her name again,
oh,
practice shot put, and remembers that the Dragon Zodiar used similar attacks. What could it mean? Meanwhile, Foles uses several other switches to try and find the blasted mag phone.
Including Screw.
I had an entirely different image in my mind for Screw Switch.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Here's a hint. It takes D-cell batteries.
And costs 5 cents.
But they finally found the use for flashlight.
Yeah.
So Yuki and Shin have roughly the same amount of success trying to get Kengo to come back. But their speeches about prioritizing friendship remind Ryusei of his comatose partner and gives the Dragon Zodiac another chance to attack the group.
You know what Ryusei's flashbacks is reminding me of?
Like PTSD?
VR Troopers?
Have you ever... Well, XV will know. Gundam Seed. How many times we saw...
No.
Or
which
how many times we saw Stella die?
Skip, but with more quality.
Or how many times... Flay died.
Why?
Even the people that weren't there.
Yeah, the people who weren't there remembered it very clearly.
Yeah. Atherin totally remembered when Flay died, even though he was off fighting somewhere else.
But the point is, Kengo's tall friend is with them with dragon attacks the second time, meaning the switch user is someone else.
Which I knew from the start.
Yeah, this wasn't terribly surprising. The way they handled it was just really kind of heavy-handed. Oh, she must obviously be the switcher. No. Yeah.
It never appeared to be her anyway.
Yeah. Well, last episode she ran off and then the dragon showed right up.
Yes, that's a very typical misdirection.
Yeah. Barely even that.
That's some Scooby-Doo level shit.
Speaking of misdirections, I don't think Ryusei's secret identity is really going to hold up under pressure for much longer because... He conveniently runs off in another direction, transforms, and then conveniently...
Well, it worked for every Showa writer.
If Gintaro couldn't figure it out from the punches in his first appearance...
Yeah.
Well,
then,
you know,
no,
Gintaro...
Well,
no,
no,
he could tell that there. He could tell the honesty behind those punches. That
now, if
he's working on G-Gundam logic. It lets you know what they're feeling, not who they are.
Right, Gintaro's from G-Gundam where he can tell what somebody's emotions are, but he's not Batman where he can read somebody's fighting style to know their secret identity.
Yeah, now say if it was, I don't know, what's a really intelligent writer?
Shotaro.
Gintaro. He'd be able to figure it out after a few episodes. Maybe Ryu probably could too, because he's about on par with Shotaro. But...
Philip could.
Philip, oh yeah, Philip definitely. Philip would probably figure it out.
Philip has all the world's information. He's the smartest one.
Well, the only
like 2 minutes because he's distracted so easily.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
he's the smartest. He's not the wisest.
He would have to stop and look up
Shotaro. Figure it out.
He would have to stop and look up Heaven's Tornado first, but after that,
and then takoyaki vinegar.
Basically, the point is, every Kamen Rider show would be better if the main writer was Shotaro.
Well, that was definitely true for O's. Now, AG never would figure out who his secondary writer was if they didn't come up and tell him.
God, no. Surprised he realized it when Dazai untransformed.
I'm surprised AG knew that he was O's.
Dazai, did you see where Birth went?
You didn't even know he was O's.
Well, he never called himself a Kamen Rider unless it was a crossover.
And he was like, who's, like, they're calling for O's. Who? Who's O's?
Oh, that's who.
Oh, yes. Well, nobody knew who O's was in O's, which is kind of telling.
But anyway, back to...
Finally, Ryusei speaks with Kengo and reveals that Gintaro asked him to take over the Switch development to prevent Kengo from working too hard under his illness. And it may have kept...
it's hard to sit there.
Well,
kept
Well, Gintaro's kind of dumb.
Wounded his ego.
Gintaro's a little dumb.
A little?
Well, I mean, Gintaro's more perceptive in some episodes than he is here.
Gintaro is well-meaning, but he's kind of stupid.
Yeah.
He's kind of like Eiji.
He's not that bad.
I don't know. It's just that this arc in particular, Gintaro doesn't really feel like he's entirely in character somehow.
Okay, you know the difference between Gintaro and Eiji is that Gintaro actually has, like, a direction for his life. It's a very simplistic direction. He wants to befriend everybody, but it's more than Eiji ever demonstrated in 50 episodes of O's.
At least Gintaro has a goal.
But, similarly, they're both kind of retarded, but they have these flashes where they're smarter than what they've been letting on.
Well, Gintaro has that a lot more frequently, though, I think.
Gintaro really acts like that on purpose, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's just that in this particular arc, it just doesn't draw me in as much. Like I said, Gintaro just seems extra stupid in this arc.
Okay, well, anyway.
It seems like it's a sitcom problem where it's simply because no one talked to each other.
It's an in no way problem, actually.
It can't be. No one ended up falling into a river.
No, but somebody did fall into a giant puddle.
Or they swam in one.
And there was a giant fell. There was a giant puddle they fell into.
Mm-hmm.
That's close enough, right?
But it's the Inoue problem where rider fights happen because nobody talks to each other.
So anyway, back to the hole.
And the captain of the track team is revealed to be the Dragon Zodiart, furious at a tall girl for listening to Kengo's advice instead of his. So Meteor compromises his identity even further by revealing that he can use switches from the Foes driver too, and borrows Electric to give Foes and Kengo enough time to work things out with each other.
After Miyu brings the magphone.
From the giant hole they dug.
And then had the
hole of water at the bottom.
Then had digging small hole in the big hole.
No, we're gonna call that something closer to the Japanese name. We're gonna call it wank off.
And Kengo, how did the phone get itself buried like 12 feet underground exactly?
In a big puddle.
Remember, of course.
The Earth has a magnetic core.
What I want to know is why was that hole full of water?
I thought the Earth's core was filled with a Kamen Rider made of fire.
Well, not anymore.
Yeah, Shotaro and Eiji killed it.
And plus, I'm pretty sure that never happened.
Depends on which universe you're talking about.
But if both answers are universe, essentially correct. Well, okay.
That reminds me. The sad thing is that because Movie War Core is in continuity with O's, that means the O's section of Movie War Core is a part of O's universe. That's a sad thing.
Wait,
I mean,
what?
It's part of Double's universe. I mean,
yeah, I was gonna say the way I got it figured is that
part of Double's universe.
The O's movies are specifically in Double continuity for the TV series.
That's a sad, sad thing.
Well, it kind of has to be that way though, because otherwise Double wouldn't look as good in comparison.
You know how you can make that not sad?
How?
Just disregard them.
Well, except for
decide
the skull
for yourself
segment.
What's in continuity.
So Shotaro and Philip destroyed Core on their own.
Well,
okay,
no, because you could just disregard that Core existed in the first place.
Exactly.
Then you couldn't see Shotaro's reaction to Ankh.
Well, small sacrifices have to be made.
It's a what-if story.
And I guess in the stupid thing of Sokichi's...
No, it can't be a what-if story. It doesn't end with the world blowing up.
Actually, I like this idea because that means that stupid thing of Sokichi's ghost walking Akiko down the aisle did not happen.
Yes, but his ghost did come and give Shotaro the lost driver in the movie before.
Yes, that was less stupid. It was not before a crowd of people that are just kind of okay with the fact that Akiko is either walking down the aisle by herself or walking down with a ghost.
But anyway, back to Forze.
So Kengo takes the magphone and is able to reverse the polarity of the neutron flow, and Foes successfully accesses magnet states.
Oh!
XV approves of this plan.
I'm very glad.
Pan out all the way up to Saturn this time.
Yeah, Saturn's pretty useful.
Yeah, Meteor used it.
Yes, magnet states.
And magnet state's secret weapon is shoulder-mounted railguns.
which crushed things.
Makes a lot of sense.
Because when you look like that, you kind of have to have an awesome weapon.
Well, when you can't move your own head, you have to have guns that can move.
Yeah. It's a battleizer.
Yeah, kind of. But, you know, one other thing Meteor showed was that the Jupiter Punch was also enough to temporarily stop the dragon, so that's got to be pretty strong, too.
So, can we also note that the placement for the Limit Break is a little questionable? Breast fire.
Okay, then.
What? Nobody seen my finger?
No.
Well, the point is, magnet energy is
the point is, he's Riker.
People make me sad.
Magnet energy is super effective against the dragon type, and apparently dragon wasn't as strong as Libra thought because he wasn't able to surpass last one.
Yeah, Libra's kind of showing that he sort of sucks.
Although Libra does admit to Red Eyes that he has another candidate already.
Of course he does. He knew this one was going to crap out.
Man, Space Garen, you're really kind of blowing this.
Yeah, it's not a good sign that he already had a replacement for his failure.
Either that, he was lying. He's like, oh yes, I've got another one lined up right away, sir. Yes, yes, you know, I'm on top of things, really.
I'm a little concerned about Magnet State Limit Break, wherein it crushes the target into a tiny little ball until it explodes.
Yes.
That seems like it's maybe a bad thing to put in Gintaro's hands. I'd be more worried if it was AG, but still.
Yeah. Well, in fairness, launching somebody into space and then kicking them with a drill isn't that
Well, yes, good. But I mean, it's fine when it's a last one, but it also means that Magnet State's Limit Break can't be used on anything else because it will kill people.
Does he use Limit Breaks on anything other than anyone else? Or?
He's tried to use them on
Scorpio, Libra.
No, he's tried to use them on like the first phase of them before.
Has he ever hit anyone with one?
Hit anyone with one is a different matter.
Yeah.
Because, well, actually, in this very episode, he and Meteor both used their Limit Breaks on Dragon at the very beginning of the episode.
Well, if he used Magnus' Limit Break on, like, you know, the monster not in last one, it'd probably just hurt it and knock it out of the transformation.
Besides which, Magnus don't really compress things like that.
Yeah.
But the moral of the story is...
Magnet, we still don't know how magnets work.
No. Kengo proves to be the superior Switch developer because he actually does know how the magnets work.
His is the superior intellect.
And next week on Foes, the Kamen Riders meet Virgo Horoscope, and apparently there's a new teacher at the school. What a coincidence!
And thankfully, missing Miss Tsunoda might go away because there's another hot woman in the show.
And it's Hurricane Blue.
Blue, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, it is. Sorry.
She was better looking during
Hurricane
there
for a second.
Maybe a little.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well.
Yeah, she's getting a lot of work in Kamen Rider and Sentai lately.
As long as it's not her feet, not her back.
No comment. he set that one right up.
We're going to take a break. My head hurts.
I think that's for the best.
A short 2-minute break for Ken.
No, I'm good.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
Hey, everybody. It's your old friend, John DeLuna. And do you like video games? Do you like people who like video games? Well, if so, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. It's the weekly video game podcast of record. News, rumors, in-depth discussion of new and retro gaming, plus the occasional contest or giveaway. So if you game, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. Check us out at tfradio.net, a proud member of the Transformers Internet Radio Network.
The third strike, y'all, on the Street Fighter 3.
It's time for Power Playback. Look for Power Playback every Friday on Twitter at superhero_time.
So for Power Playback, we finally watched an episode of Mega Ranger, and I don't think this one ever got any of its footage adapted into Power Rangers in Space.
Nope.
I doubt think it. There's a good reason why.
And what reason would that be, Mickey?
Well, generally, Power Rangers tends to stay away from religion.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because they're terrified of stepping on anyone's toes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, yeah. Setting an episode inside a church, that's just not going to make it to America.
Well, it's not like there was much more footage in the church anyway.
Yeah, well, yeah. The thing is, a lot of the fight footage is just Mega Yellow fighting the Japanese woman in the costume who they couldn't use. And
right,
then
true.
The fight against the monster is actually kind of an afterthought.
Yeah.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of footage.
Yeah, so it wasn't a lot of usable footage, and the monster was kind of a crappy design. So,
no big loss.
Yeah. But it's episode 11 of Mega Ranger, so...
I did like this episode, though.
Mega Ranger, episode 11. Spring Break. And Mega Yellow is off of a fountain taking photos of herself and talking to her camera like a complete shitbag nut job.
Yeah, that does not establish a good feeling about the beginning of the episode.
And then they're in the school and she's taking her clothes off.
That also does not establish a good feeling about the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, she's baking a cake, and then the Pink Ranger, who I assume has some form of Down syndrome, tells the rest of the guys come check her out because she's in love. So then she does the whole...
And the four other Mega Rangers watch her through the slightly cracked door. That's not creepy at all.
No, of course not, but that's the least of this episode's problems.
Are we sure yeah, so... Suspenders Man isn't at this school, too?
So, after she finishes baking, she figures, I'll change clothes right here. Because she needed to change clothes for some reason. So she closes the blinds, and then... The Mega Rangers go inside the building, and on the other side of the room, there's this big glass window.
Yeah, like right that's the one that leads to the outside, too.
No one outside can look in, but anyone walking through the hall can see her totally in her bra.
At least.
So the Mega Rangers decide to follow her and find out who the lucky boy is that she baked a cake for. And so they rob somebody's locker for costumes.
Yeah. Shittiest disguises ever.
The least effective disguises ever.
No, they're super effective.
Except not really.
So they all get on the bus, and somehow Meg Yellow does not notice them, and they follow her to the stop, and probably there's a dead woman on the bus in the background, too, that no one seems to notice. But
it's the dead hooker on the background.
If you see her, I think you've got to show this video to five other people, otherwise you die.
Well, at least there's five of us here.
Yeah.
And then there's a nun.
Yeah, so...
Well, yeah.
She starts walking up this giant staircase to nowhere, and a nun comes down and starts...
Well, that is a familiar staircase, though.
I like how there's stairs, but she doesn't use the stairs.
A giant staircase to nowhere. I like that, too.
Well, actually, no, it's a giant staircase to a lot of places. Sometimes it leads to that church, sometimes it leads to the...
The quarry?
Sometimes it leads to the quarry, sometimes it leads to the concrete pipe farm.
All of Super Sentai exists inside a giant tesseract anyway, so...
It's a big Mobius strip.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So, as the nurse passes the people on the way down, she pins roses to all the kids' lapels, like they're pallbearers or some shit. So, meanwhile, at the top of the staircase, Mega Yellow encounters the person she baked the cake for and surprised that it's an ugly little girl. So, she hands her the cake, and they're going to celebrate her birthday. And then Mega Yellow whips around and calls out for the rest of the Mega Rangers to quit hiding.
Because apparently Mega Yellow is not as stupid as they are.
Yeah.
That's a recurring trend throughout Mega Ranger. Yellow's not as stupid as the rest of them.
Pretty much.
Actually, it's interesting, too, because like in the first dozen episodes, she has three or four focus episodes.
Huh. Which is almost unusual by today's standards.
It's extremely unusual.
Especially also for the females.
It's also pretty welcome, though.
Yeah.
So, Well, the little girl skips away with her cake down the cave or tunnel, where the hell that is. the nun pops out of nowhere and pins a rose to her and tells her to go to church. And then she walks off to church.
That sounds about right for Catholics.
Especially Japanese Catholics.
To command people to walk like zombies to the church, and not just people, but command children to go to church, I suppose, is right for Catholics, right?
Mind control them to go to church.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds about right for Catholics.
So, meanwhile, back with the Mega Rangers.
Of course, the priests need more children at the Catholic Church.
Oh!
Right. Yeah.
Well, they say it's a service for children only.
But meanwhile, back with the Mega Rangers.
No, service performed by children only.
Oh, God.
I'm not going to be able to use any of this.
Yeah, it took a while. Ken is the last to get it.
No, I got it. I'm just trying to keep quiet because... Oh, my God. So, see, the thing is, if I keep quiet, it's not a matter of not getting it. It's a matter of trying to hold it in.
That's what she said?
So, the Mega Rangers ask Mega Yellow...
Why she's stalking this little girl.
Yeah, why are you trying to get in this little girl's pants? And she's saying, well, I was taking photos at the park, and she had the most beautiful smile. And it cuts to her smile, and she's got, like, teeth missing and teeth all chipped, and it's like, Jesus.
Well, by Japanese standards...
And apparently...
Well, that's like, bad by British standards.
Remember the father from Rescue Fire last week?
Ugh.
Killed by Vulcan Black.
Yeah, Vulcan Black is a little bit more infamous for it. So apparently Mega Yellow won an award for a picture she took of the girl.
Second place, apparently.
Which is still pretty good for a female in Japan.
Yeah.
But she was the only person to enter the contest.
Which is still pretty good for a female in Japan.
So they start walking and they find the cake box just dropped unceremoniously on the ground.
Sad trombone. No, Ken, when you say sad trombone, that's the end of it. It's just sad trombone. You don't actually do the sound.
Oh. Well, okay then.
Learn the rules, Ken.
So, the Mega Rangers at this point see the army of children marching off towards church.
And they know something has to be wrong with that.
So they do their best to stop this. And they're stopped at the door by the nun, says, no, people aren't welcome inside church, only children.
Exactly.
So,
and then you have a mook playing the organ.
Then you get to realizing, hey, something's kind of up here.
Yeah. And just all the mind-controlled children was not a tip-off.
You know, the first clue, the biggest clue should be, that there's a nun leading the service. The Catholic Church would never let a woman be in charge.
Well, it's Japan.
Especially Japan, too. Yeah,
worse.
Yeah, that's like double damnation on it.
Yeah. So the nun says that the roses are very happy to see you, and it's translated as drink this rose holy water. But I'm pretty sure the implication is drink the blood of Christ.
Yeah.
Probably.
Hmm.
Only it's more like the Kool-Aid of Christ, because it looks kind of delicious and strawberry flavored.
No, I think that'd be more like cherry. It could be strawberry, I don't know.
Yeah.
I always like the black cherry Kool-Aid the best, though.
Blue flavored drinks are always the best.
They glow.
Anyway.
All the other children turn into plants.
Yes, the evil nuns turn the kids into flower monsters.
Because Japan.
And now you know why I picked this episode.
So about the time we get the Mega Rangers get jumped by goons in the alley, and we flash up to Ecliptor and
Dr. Hinalar.
Andromeda, and oh my God, Andromeda's a man.
Astronomer,
yes, whatever.
Andromeda
was the one with Kevin Sorbo.
Yes.
Fan noticed.
He was a man too, I think.
The Japanese Ecliptor, whatever his, I can't remember. I can never remember his name. I always call him Ecliptor. The voice actors actually sound really similar.
Oh, what the fuck is that talking baseball?
Oh, that's BB Devi.
Something that mercifully did not make it into.
Was that a Digimon?
This is before Digimon.
Actually, it did make it into In Space, in the toy line.
Oh, really?
Yes.
In what format?
I think it came with I think it may have been a pack-in with a... may have been an accessory for a Ecliptor.
That's fitting.
Something for him to hit with his sword.
Evil space alien, though?
Of course, it's always evil space alien.
Well, no. Now, in Lost Galaxy, it was Space Buccaneer and Space Android.
At least they weren't evil. They were just misguided.
I think that was implied, though.
I like when Saban got to it. They probably just looked at it as like, space... Are you kidding? No.
Was the Space Buccaneer from Space Australia?
Go Space Dingoes.
Space Boom ate the space baby.
That reminds me, I haven't watched the new Dragon Ball Z Abridged.
Oh, is it out?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay, I know what I'm doing after the show.
Same here.
Okay, so
hurry up,
Mickey. Space Nun changes into Blue
Shibarina.
Hat Girl.
Shibarina.
Yeah, Blue Hat Girl.
Yeah.
And alternate Space Nun turns into a flower petal monster with disco boob.
No, no, the rose is turned into that.
Yeah, the other nun was one of the foot soldiers.
That's right. Yes, yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, the other Jordan nun was one of the grunts.
Yeah. Well, regardless, Disco Tip Flower engages the four main Mega Rangers, whereas Mega Yellow chases off after Blue
Her
Hat
girlfriend.
Girl. Yeah. Because Ugly Smile Girl has run off because she recovered her memories.
Somehow.
Or something.
To the power of burning memory.
That part's not really important anyway. It's just that, you know, you got to get Yellow away from the group.
Yeah.
So then you can have Yellow just suddenly go and wind up on a bus.
Well,
that
was
very
a little
Metal
bit,
Hero-y.
That was a little bit later, though.
Yeah.
So... Blue Hat Girl shows up to attack Ugly Smile Girl.
While dressed as Mega Yellow.
Yeah.
Which almost works.
Until she whips out the Kool-Aid again.
Yeah, apparently Blue Hat Girl's not terribly clever. Because this plan would totally work if she just like made it a little bit more subtle.
Well, you know, it's Japan. She's a girl. The only thing she's good at is making coffee.
Well, like, shit, like, just put
case,
the shit in a thermos or
Kool-Aid.
Something. Change the glass you're serving it to her in.
I thought she was going to, like, mix it into the cake when I first saw this a while back.
No, the cake is a lie.
No, it's right there in the box.
It's a lie.
Until she sets it on fire. Then it becomes a lie.
So Mega Yellow shows up, then she realizes, oh, shit, I can't transform because it'll give him my identity. Well, I better go run into her fist.
Yeah, secret identity. Not something you see very often in Super Sentai, ironically.
No.
Or
then it's naughty tentacle time.
Mm.
Because Japan.
That's okay, because there's flowers on it.
I'm not really sure that helps.
Thorns.
That doesn't make it. That doesn't make it any better. In fact, that makes it worse.
Makes it smell prettier.
There's so many awful, awful jokes here. I'm just.
So, Blue Hat Girl pours a NyQuil down the little girl's throat, and she becomes a flower. But she still
NyQuil
resists.
I thought NyQuil was more green.
She resists because she has cake to look forward to.
She was weakened, but the soul still burned.
Cake.
The stage of history is set.
That comes out next week, doesn't it? This week.
Soon, yeah.
Yeah, it comes out on Tuesday, I think, actually. Tomorrow.
It can't come out now. I'm still playing Dynasty Warriors, damn it.
It's a different kind of game.
You don't understand how I play Dynasty Warriors.
Oh.
How do you play Dynasty Warriors?
In 5-hour stretches.
Oh, God.
Wow.
I like Dynasty Warriors, but I don't think I could do that.
I must max out Guan Yu stats.
Mind you, I'm still on Skyrim, so I'll probably be on that for the remainder of the year anyway.
So, yeah, Blue Hat Girl does awesome, and she immolates the birthday cake.
I believe that cake's going to be a little overcooked now.
A little.
See, and this is when Mega Yellow gets angry. Not when the girl's life is in danger, but when her cooking gets disrupted. So she gives up her secret identity to adventure cake.
Forget the little girl, but mess with her cake and Dawn.
She must be related to Kogami.
I would guess so. Oh, yeah, and the other four actually defeat the flower boob monster.
Well, again, afterthought.
Okay, so now we get Yellow in the bus.
Yeah, now we get Yellow's fever dream.
So first she lands in a bus and is overcome by the sound of tapping on the windows.
For some reason.
Yeah, well, then she gets spilled off the bus and becomes giant.
I'm huge.
And then the police shoot her. Just, you know, because she's giant and Yellow.
And she had an odd-looking bulge in her back, too. Did anyone else notice that?
That's the electronics pack for the spark effect.
Well, don't they usually hide it better, though?
No. Yeah, usually they put it on the back of the suit.
Oh, okay. I can't say I've ever noticed it before. Maybe I don't know.
You just haven't been looking for it.
I suppose not.
I spend most of my time scrutinizing scenes looking for odd bulges in the suits.
You should not battle fever, then.
No, battle fever makes it too obvious.
Yeah. Yeah, and battle fever, that's
that
just like...
That sounds like the confession you give a psychiatrist.
In battle fever, you know, Miss America's package is like right there in your face.
It's in 3D.
Despite being 2D.
Yep.
That's how much it's there.
Yeah.
No glasses required.
It was a bulge in your TV screen.
The screen actually came out towards you. It's like Poltergeist.
They're here.
But instead, it's Miss America's package.
Yeah, which day do you think I was referring to?
Where's Wingus when we need him?
So that little baseball guy gnaws on her disco tits in order to make her grow.
Hmm. Yeah, it's kind of creepy how that works.
Yeah. But hey, Galaxy Mega is awesome.
Of course.
Well, of course, it's the Astro Megazord.
After Yellow gets shot, she gets beat up by the townspeople and then thrown into an 80s school photo set.
Yeah. And then she realizes, oh, hey, wait, that's not real.
Hey, wait, it's the Astro Mega Shit's holodeck.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
No, that had more green red.
I think it depended on what stock footage they were using.
It was just the redressed Macu space set.
Macross?
Moving along.
Moving along, they defeat the villains. Blue Hat Girl runs away.
Well, first they defeat the villain. Villain pops back up. The Rose monster doesn't stay dead. She loses her weapons and then uses the laser blade arm.
Yellow does.
Yeah.
Which, and then blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, which I don't think that attack shows up again.
Well, no, it's never convenient for it to show up again.
Yeah, that or Metalder just decided he was taking his attack back.
I think more of us would get that joke if any of us had watched that show.
You've watched VR Troopers, haven't you?
He won't admit to it.
I've watched the theme song.
I think it appears in the. I think that attack appears in the theme song.
I don't think it was named, though.
No, probably not.
Unless it was named We Are VR.
You know, it was something. It was something command now.
Lightning Hand?
Yeah.
Although I think they gave it an alternate name at some point, too. But that tended to happen back then. These were very consistent shows.
So they win and they use a hologram to convince the blue chick that Mega Yellow isn't actually the woman who transformed into Mega Yellow.
Sure. Okay.
And it works because the bad guys are dumb.
I'm surprised any of the others were smart enough to think of that.
Well,
Blue Mega has a brain.
Blue's one of the smarter ones.
And Black is
that
technically...
That doesn't say much.
And Black is technically the leader of the team.
Yeah, which is why in space, for some reason, Carlos ended up being second in command instead of TJ most of the time, like it should have been.
Well, Carlos didn't blow up any of the
right.
doors.
TJ gave up his right to second in command status when he self-destructed two Megazords and then blew up their next best weapon.
I guess that's a good
point.
No,
he only self-destructed one of them.
Well, whatever.
Just lost the other one.
But, you know, in the same afternoon, two Megazords got destroyed and TJ was in charge. That's not going away.
And the command center.
No, that wasn't his fault.
He was still in charge.
He was the leader. It was his fault. It's always the boss's fault.
Mm-hmm. No, I think in Turbo we can all just blame Justin and be happy with it.
That's why this show is always XV's fault.
Well, it's always the boss's fault until the boss decides to delegate that responsibility down to one of his subordinates.
And if he delegated to a poor subordinate, it's the boss's fault for choosing a poor subordinate.
No, what I'm saying is, instead of taking the blame himself, he will pass that blame on to someone lower on the pole.
It still doesn't matter at that point. It's always the boss's fault.
The damage is done.
It's one thing I have learned from retail.
So anyway, more cake.
Cake.
Hooray.
Episode over.
Yep. So that was an episode of Mega Ranger.
It's a filler episode of Mega Ranger. But yes, it was an episode of Mega Ranger.
Yeah, but it had Japan doing horrible things to children, so we had to watch it
on this show.
Yeah.
Like, you know, stronger.
Yes. Ugh. Well, at least nobody was wearing a thong this time. Or if they were, they had pants over it.
Or they're back in the confessional.
No, I don't think they'd be wearing a thong then.
Sure. Well played. Well, maybe one day if anybody subs more of Mega Ranger, we can watch it again.
Be nice to get the Neji Ranger episodes done.
That's kind of what I was thinking of, although that's very close to the end of the series.
Yeah. And you know, that's the one thing Gokaiger has missed out on.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll show up in a movie.
Maybe. Possible.
And it's not like the Neji Rangers ever actually got destroyed.
Well, their big opportunity is missed now that Bosco's dead.
I don't think Bosco's trumpet reads key cards, though.
Well, he'd find a way.
So, what can we do next week?
Well, what's available?
I have no idea.
That's sort of the question, isn't it?
I don't know what's available anymore. Everything's gone. Fort Max, do you know of anything that's available?
How about an episode of original Kamen Rider?
Yeah, because they Kit says they've been trying to get that back up.
They have it back up.
They have it back up then.
At least until the hosting goes away again.
They have it up. They have torrents as well.
Sure, let's do that then. We haven't done original Kamen Rider yet.
Well, what's a good episode?
One.
No, that'd be a bad episode.
Two.
Fort Max, what's the craziest episode so far?
There's one episode I'm thinking of. I can't remember which episode it is or what it's called. And is saying why I want to do it would spoil it entirely.
Is that the Wolfman and the Nazis?
The one with the coffin?
I don't know. I just heard the Wolfman and the Nazis and the blood. But really, all you have to know is Wolfman and Nazis.
That sounds promising.
Fort Max, any idea what episode that is?
I'm not sure which.
Let me go back to Kit's subsite here.
Yes, this is worth figuring out.
Yes, it is. Let's see. Backtrack. 12, 11, 10.
How many episodes do they have done?
25. So they got a quarter of the series done, which is more than a lot of people do with some things.
How long has it taken them to get to that point?
I'd say, I don't know, 7 March. So they started back in...
Let's see.
Might be it, but
episode 6.
Episode 6. Ah, there we go. Secrets of Shocker Plot and an Iron Box. Nazis. Nazis. That one ends on a cliffhanger, so it goes in the 7.
Yeah.
So we would have to do 2 episodes?
Okay, just reading the episodes, I think they need to do more of these. I want to see Monster Wolfman's Huge Murder Party.
Actually, that might be the episode I'm thinking of.
Well, that's 39, so that wouldn't have been done yet.
Yeah. Yeah, but they've see, the oldest post they have for Kamen Rider on their blog currently is episode 6, and that was March 14th. So they've been doing it for about a year. Which, that's like an episode every 2 weeks. That's not too bad.
So I put into Google Kamen Rider Werewolf Nazi, because I figured that would be the fastest way to find what I was looking for.
I can't imagine what Google's going to try and show you for ads now.
Well, I have I got my ad block enabled for Google, so I won't see any of them.
It's a shame. But what did it give you?
Mostly relevant stuff. The second link, though, is Frankenstein in popular culture, because it has Kamen Rider Kiva reference in it, and Scooby-Doo and the Reluctant Werewolf.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, episode 7 might be the what I'm thinking about.
Yeah. However, the plot itself for that, these are both Chameleon Man episodes, so... It's kind of a two-parter, but they are still pretty episodic. But one does lead into another, but it's not exactly a cliffhanger.
So, do we need to watch both? Or
go ahead, watch both. It's crazy enough. There's Nazi stuff in both.
And one of the best entrances ever.
In which episode?
If it's what I'm thinking of, it's...
7 is the one with the troll.
Yes! Okay.
Okay!
And of course, these episodes are both ones that were completed before Hongo's broke his leg.
But so, actually has Hongo in it.
Yeah. There was like episode 10 or so that he broke his leg.
Here's one. Cockroach Man, the terrifying bacterial ad balloon.
Okay.
Well.
All right, then.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Okay, so are we watching 6 and 7 or just 6?
Let's do both.
Okay. So that's Power Playback for next week. Anything else before we go?
No.
Good.
I think we hit all the bases this time.
Yeah, well, I think we've like offended enough people for the night.
Are you sure? I just always feel like we could do more.
You can always do more, trust me. there's enough.
There's never enough giving.
Except when it's nickels.
We have so much. We need to share it with all of our listener.
Oh.
And Ken just catches up again.
At this point, it's kind of late, so...
That's the theme for our show tonight. And Ken just catches up.
Now, the other times, I was just trying not to say anything.
No, I think you're just covering.
If you can't say anything nice, say something really horrible.
If you can't say anything nice, well, you're probably on the right show then.
That's a good point.
Yeah, what does saying something nice have to do with this show? Exactly. All right, that's our show for this week. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Or not.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Follow us on Twitter at Superhero_Time for weekly power playback and updates about the show. Visit tfradio.net or find us on iTunes for previous episodes and to subscribe to the show. Superhero Time is a TF Radio Network production. Copyright 2012.
You are the king! You are the king! You are the king!
I don't think my dinner is agreeing with me.
I don't agree with you.
Well, that much is known. My head hurts and I'm dizzy. That can't be a good sign.
Did you eat another 5-year-old pizza?
Nope, fresh out.
Considering my food poisoning.
Did you know the 5-year-old?
That's not what I was going to say.